Heaven's Day! Welcome back, everybody, to Master of the Universe podcast, and a very merry Black Christmas to y'all motherfuckers. I got Christmas, Christopher J, a.k.a. Fellatio Karam, and the old man Beast, Mr. Gabe and shit. So, dudes, I mean, we're doing a fucking, we're doing a Christmas this year, you know, justice by doing all the great Christmas movies that we've done so far, and I'm pleasantly surprised after watching this one, dude. So, you know, before we get too deep in it, dude, before we get in too deep into the hood rats of fucking horror, Gabe, I mean, we got any fucking news before Chris starts shitting on Black Christmas, dude?
Oh, of course. Well, first of all, Black Christmas is a damn good movie, so I'm definitely excited to, you know, to go ahead and talk about that one. But yeah, as far as news goes, I got quite a bit of stuff, so I'll just kind of go through it briefly. If there's like any problem that someone didn't catch, I mean, they can just rewind or hear this pod again, and they'll go ahead and look it up, type it in Google or whatever. But yeah, Ghostbusters. So Ghostbusters is a badass movie. Well, I mean, for most people, I mean, it was so-so for me. But they can't. Ernie Hudson ended up going out and on. He was doing like an interview. And on JoeBlow.com, ended up saying that he admitted that he is getting prototypes for his character, that they're coming out with a new video game for this next year. So him and Dan Aykroyd, they're all going to be doing their original voices, and they got a new video game coming out. There's no debut date on that, so I thought that was pretty neat. Tim Burton, you know, we all know Tim Burton. He's got that weird... he's got that weird, wonky style and cool movies. Mm-hmm. He has hired on his old buddy, Danny Elfman, to help him compose the score and theme song for the new Wednesday series. If you're not sure what Wednesday series is, it's going to be a new show on Netflix. It's basically a spinoff from the Addams Family. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. I thought that was pretty neat. If you've been keeping up with horror movies, there's a horror movie that's coming out next year. Not just like for Scream 5, and they got some other ones coming out, but there's one in particular, though, if you were looking at The Black Phone, some kind of supernatural entity that ends up killing people through like a black phone, the date was for February 4th. So if you were really looking forward to that, well, you're going to have to kind of hold your horses, because that's not going to come out till at least June now. It got pushed back. There wasn't no real answer other than COVID, so apparently, however way they want to work it, they're pushing it back because of that. So I was like, oh, okay, well, there is that. The Train to Busan. Everyone knows that Asian film, the zombie film, where, you know, zombies attacking this damn train to Busan, you know. Well, guess what? They're doing a remake of it. And you're probably thinking, like, but that movie wasn't even that old. Why are they going to do a remake? Guess what? That they're doing an American version, Last Train to New York. That's right, all the tragedy and gimmicks and all that shit that always ends up hitting New York. Mm-hmm. Well, now we got the last train hitting New York, so now we got a new one on that. That one's coming out in April 21st of 2023. So currently they're working on it. Everything seems to go, so that seems pretty badass. I love the Train to Busan. I thought it was great.
I'm looking it up right now, and I'm like, wow, I got to see that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So if you're a video game fan, okay, so if you love Friday the 13th, if you have that video game, you know, pretty much the idea is that there's several campers. One person's Jason. He has to go around killing all the campers. And, you know, the player switches every single time. Well, guess what? Now they're coming out with, from the same people that did that, they're coming out with a newer version now. Coming up this next year, they're coming out with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But here's the cool trick. It's not just Leatherface going after all the other, I guess, travelers. now it's going to be the whole family. So not just one killer like in the Friday the 13th, but now you're going to deal with five killers dealing with up to 20 other people, like other 15. Wow. So that's going to be pretty awesome. You know, I thought that was pretty great, especially with me being a Texas Chainsaw fan. So I thought that was awesome. There has from the screenwriters of the book of the Spiral. What is it called? The Book of Saw. So now they're coming. They have basically clarified that they are going to go ahead and make a part two. And the what's his name? The guy who ends up playing John Kramer. I can't think of his name right now. Well, anyways, the main guy, the main Saw dude. Yeah. They're going to bring him back. So he's going to make like a cameo or make an appearance. So I was like, oh, okay. And then the last final thing that I have, there was no date on that Saw thing. That I didn't get any date on that. Another James Wan series coming out.
Oh, shit.
Series, not movie.
All right.
So apparently this has to, it's going to be called Archive 81. So this is going to be like one long, not really long. It's like 8 episodes. But apparently it comes out in January 14th on Netflix. So that's going to be pretty cool if you like James Wan stuff. We just ended up seeing, Malignant?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty badass. So if you like some of his weird, The Conjuring, you know, you like those kind of movies. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm going to expect some of that, you know, coming on, you know, in that series. So there's going to be some weird shit probably going on in there, supernatural stuff. So, you know, that's all the news I got. I mean, again, you can Google some of this stuff, look it up, rewind on the pod if you forgot any of the names or certain dates or something. But, I mean, that's what I got for now. But pretty interesting stuff, though, for video games and, you know, movies alike.
Oh, yeah. I you know, didn't Danny Elfman and what's his name? Tim Burton, like, stop working for a while because they didn't get along or some shit I had heard about? Because I know they were, like, collaborating, like, pretty nonstop, I think, you know, with Pee Wee Herman, fucking all the Batman shit. I mean, and then they just, they had, like, a falling out. So it's cool that they're getting back together and shit.
Yeah, I think they patched things up, went out for a beer, and just said, hey, you know, let's be buddies again. So
yeah,
I think that's how it happened.
Chris
Wars, in my mind.
Chris Wars brings everyone together and shit. I think I've had Elfman shit on mine, but what were you saying, Chris?
I was just gonna say, so first of all, I like that news about Saw, because I'm a Saw mark, you know, big time, and John Kramer, that's that actor is Tobin Bell, and I've seen him in some other stuff besides Saw.
Are you playing the laptop game? Because you sound like there's a echo, like a son of a bitch.
Well, I'm right here. It's here.
I know you're right there. Where else would you be? But I'm saying you sound different. I'm right here. I'm like, okay, no, you're not there, you know.
I think he's getting ready for the voice of the Black Christmas. I think he's getting ready for that.
He's
scary,
always,
you know, kind of sexy voice.
He always has to play a game and shit. I swear, I was like, I'm right here, and because I can hear him touching shit, you know. And he's like, it's not any different than it's always been. So here you go.
I was trying to interject and I didn't think y'all heard me.
No, I can hear you now. Yeah. Now you sound much better. Now before you sound like you were in another room. You're like, hey, you guys, you see, you know, like you're playing that game. So. But go ahead, man. My bad.
Oh, I was going to say, and Tobin Bell, I'm a huge fan of his work, and, you know, he has a good presence to him and everything I like. Of course, it culminates in Saw, because that's what everyone's familiar with, but I've seen him in a few other things, some TV series, other movies, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I heard his voice come, last time I caught him was on the Flash TV series, you know, that CW series, and he actually played one of the Flash characters, and he was a... But he just did the voice. He didn't actually, you know, make his appearance or anything. But it was pretty neat watching him, hearing his voice, though. I recognize that shit easily.
Yeah, he's got a very distinct voice. I saw him, the last thing I saw him in that, I'm sure he came out on another shit, but the last thing that I saw him that was kind of new was the Creepshow, like a few years ago, that he came out on the first episode. And I was like, hey, what's that dude from Saw? So that was badass. And you had mentioned Malignant. That was the one that we were supposed to do that we did. Well, we did it, but I forgot what happened where we couldn't do it after all. I think the recording, like, fucked up, like, some of the voices, right? Because we didn't end up posting it. Is that right?
The file got corrupted or something like that.
Yeah, I think the first like segment was good, and then like the whole middle, for whatever reason, stopped recording one of y'all's voices, and I was like, well, that's fucked up. But we'll eventually do it again. I actually like that. I had to start writing down these notes whenever y'all talk, so I can remember what I was thinking at the moment. But you know, I love what Gabe's doing. Like, I'm like, man, I wouldn't have known this about that. Now I'm gonna be looking forward to all that shit. What you mentioned, James Wan. I was laughing because we did Halloween Kills, and like, I was kind of at the time, I didn't really like Malignant too much. I liked it, but not like I loved, you know, Halloween Kills. And my brother goes, he goes, you thought that Halloween Kills was a good movie? I was like, oh yeah, I loved it. It was badass. He's like, you gotta check out this movie, Malignant. And I started laughing. I was like, I saw that movie. It was, I go, I liked it, but it was like joking. He's like, man, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I started laughing. I was like, no, it's cool, but it's not like, I liked Michael Myers, but you know, funny shit. We're talking about James Wan. Anyway, fucking Black Christmas, dude. And I guess I want you to. Well, you know what? I want to ask Chris first, because you know you're over here. You're taking all this spotlight, dude. He's gonna kick you off the podcast pretty soon. So, Chris, dude, this is your first time watching it, of course. This is actually my first time. Well, you know what? I've seen, I think, the beginning of this a long time ago. But this is your first time watching it, and you're like, before you even watched it, you're like, oh, I know I'm going to like it because I like the 70s. Is that right? And what'd you think about it, dude?
I did, and here's the thing. So, 70s horror is great. Like, there's that golden period of, let's say, December 73 when Exorcist came out, all the way to... We'll go all the way to 84 with the first Nightmare on Elm Street. There's just that golden period of horror where they did it right. They knew what they were doing. Good stories, good characters, good scares, gets in your head kind of stuff. And it's not just cheap slashing is just a slash, but it's also, you know, the fear element is there. The intrigue element is there. So I loved it. So when you said we were going to do this, I knew I was going to watch this. Was it Monday night I watched it, I think? Yeah. Days and nights get confused all nowadays, but... Well, Monday night I watched it, but that morning, or maybe it was Sunday, I watched like the first 5 or 6 minutes of it just to kind of see how it opens up, and I was like, I already like the feel of this. So I was like, between it being 70s and between how I liked the first few minutes that I got to see just to get a catch, I was like, I'm going to like this. I know I will. And I didn't read anything about it. I was like, I just know I'm going to like it. So I sat down Monday night. Yeah. So I sat down Monday night when I got home and I watched it the whole way through, nonstops. And, you know, opening it up, man, like, the opening is great. Like, it's just a slow setting, and they go in there, and you see a Jufro Santa Claus with the old-school glasses, and they have Silent Night playing in the background. And I just remember when they get to the house, and they've got the Greek alphabet letters on the address, and I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. I was like, then of course, you'll later learn it's a sorority house. But,
yeah.
No, definitely. Oh, good.
No, it took me like a second watching to understand it was a sorority house, because I was like, what are all these fucking chicks living together? Like, I didn't listen to like the shit, you know?
They're all homeless.
Yeah, I was all like, this is so weird. And then I finally like, I was like, oh, this is a school, you know? Like, I didn't say sorority, but I was like, oh, this is a school where they all stay together or whatever. And I was like, this is weird. What the fuck are all these people, you know, staying together and you know, they're not related and anything until, well, I mean, I thought, you know, because that one chick's dad comes looking for her and all that. I was like, well, is that, you know, the chick's house or what are we doing here? So, yeah, I actually watched this fucking movie 4 times and I enjoyed it more and more. I had saw it like a long time ago. And the 70s movies, they're a little slower for me. I prefer the 80s. But, you know, the 70s, I mean, they're like, I mean, this is, you know, I was reading up on it after I saw it. It was like considered like the first slasher. They consider like Psycho, you know, a slasher, the first one too-ish. But this one, like, it kind of like...
Point of view kind of a killer type of vibe, right?
Yeah, it had all the... It basically started the gimmicks, you know, going forward. So, yeah, when I heard that, when I rewatched it, I'm like, oh, yeah, now I see all that, you know what I mean? Like, for sure, but... So you picked this one, dude. So, like, what's your – I mean, do you watch this one, around Christmas? Or, I mean, what the fuck – did you pick it because it has Christmas or because it got over with you or both?
Yeah, both, really. I mean, like, I've seen this – like you, I've seen this movie a long time ago. But it's just like, like you said, it's a little slow. So it's like every now and then. But then, like, in the more recent years, you know – as I'm trying to get more into, like, these holidays that come up. You know, St. Patrick's Day, we got Leprechaun, you know.
We're going to have a Leprechaun fucking a-thon in March, man. That's for damn sure. Chris is better buckle up, Buckaroo.
Buckaroo?
It's fine.
That's from South Park. Like they have, yeah, like that fucking, I forgot who
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah, that's the buckle up, Buckaroo. So now I just, like, I love it. It's funny. But go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, I know, and for the body of the movie, it's kind of slow, and it's to be expected with a 70s film.
Yeah.
But I actually thought that it started, like, the opening was pretty fast, because as soon as you stop hearing Silver Bells and you start seeing Inside Out, and they right away, like within 5 minutes, I want to say, you've got the perspective of who you know is going to end up being the slasher. He's climbing up the side of the house, trying to find an easy way in that's unguarded. All this stuff, walking around the house, and you hear him, the breathing. Kind of, it reminds me of a video of me weighing myself.
You gotta see those videos; they're just as scary, dude. Fuck.
Yeah. Damn nightmares.
I was just like, but to me, like the one real criticism I have is, I was like, could they not have waited to introduce the killer perspective a little bit later on? Like, I mean, this is 5 minutes in and they're already given, I mean, maybe in the 70s they didn't know that, because they really didn't have these in 74, but, you know, it's just for us now, you know, kind of, we already know what they're trying to indicate with that.
Well, of course, I thought it was actually a good thing, just because I understand what you're saying. I mean, I don't think there's like a you know, you can go either way. Like, you can play it as that maybe there's something there and we don't know, but obviously if you're going to have people getting killed right away, you know, we know there's a killer up there, rather than leaving it, like, you know, as a mystery, which they do anyway. But I think it's even scarier when you start off the movie and, like, right away, you know, someone's in the house and you're like, okay, so what the fuck's going on? What's he going to do? What's he up to, dude?
Right. And see, like, for this kind of movie, though, for being 1974, the whole idea, the scariness out of this movie is the tension. The tension out of this whole movie is knowing that there is a killer. The killer is in the house, and pretty much that, like, we're watching these kills and all that, but you're just more terrified for the victim. You're terrified for the victims because they're, like, right there in danger. But yet you can't tell them through the damn TV screen saying, like, hey, don't go over here, don't do this, don't do that. And here they're fearful throughout this whole movie. They know there's a killer, because there was already a 13-year-old girl that was murdered in a park that was nearby. Mm-hmm. And some of their friends are going missing. So now all of a sudden they're starting to think, like, there is a killer, the police are warned, but they're looking everywhere. But where the killer is the whole damn time, he's right under their noses. Like, he's right there, like, right next to him in the next room. And yet everyone's scouring, like, everywhere in the parks nearby, and they have all the townspeople kind of looking around for them. But the whole point of this damn movie that makes you so fearful for them is because they're next to the killer the whole damn time, and yet you can't tell them to get away. You can't, because that's the drama of it. That's we're trying to see how this ends, and we want to know, is the killer going to get caught? Is the victim going to actually get away? We hope that she gets away, but it's, you know, the main character is Jesse, and we're just kind of fearful for that character throughout this whole damn film.
I love me some Jess, dude. Olivia Hussey. I had first saw her in It, the second half of it, when they're adults, and She plays, I think, Bill's wife. And I always, like, noticed her, like, just for the fact that she had an extreme, what I thought was a tan, but I think she's, like, just, like, that dark or whatever. But that she had, like, an English accent or some shit. I don't know what the fuck yes. she is. But I had I thought it was so weird to be, like, an It movie where everyone's, you know, doesn't have an accent, or maybe just me being, like, you know, whatever the fuck when I'm, like, seeing that on TV when I'm, like, 7 or 8. I'm like, what? Why they got a fucking Brit? Why they got a Brit in my American show, man, you know? And I had always noticed her because of that, not realizing that I, like, was in love with her prior to that when I saw her. Or it might have been after that, but I didn't know they were the same person. When she came out of Romeo and Juliet, like, that was, like, my favorite, like, one of my favorite, like, where I had actually liked the movie that wasn't horror or cartoons, you know? I was like, wow, this movie's good and sad, and this chick's fine. So I don't like, and then I saw this. I was like, oh, she's the same chick from all those. I was like, but yeah, she looks good in this one, and so does the Amityville horror chick, Margaret Kidder.
Margot Kidder.
I recognize her from the Superman movies. That's man. That the was one. Lois Lane. Yeah.
Yes, that's her.
That's how I recognize her from the Superman movies. That Margot Kidder. That's Lois Lane, and then that John Saxon. Freddy Krueger, man, the damn dead, the police officer, from part one. I mean, I think he comes out in the later ones also too. Yeah, but I mostly recognize him for those movies. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, honestly, those were the only ones. I don't recognize everybody else though. I don't know what other stuff they've been in. Even like the main chick, Olivia Hussey. Like I have never seen her anywhere else other than this one. And I've seen the old It movie. I don't recognize her in there.
Yeah, she looks a little different. Like I said, she looks like when we do it, I mean, you're going to be like, oh, yeah. But she doesn't like really look the same. So I guess that's why I didn't make the connection. And I even thought that maybe she was someone different. I was like, no, it has to be her. Because the only reason I knew was because her accent. So that made me connect it. I'm like, it kind of looks like her, but the accent's the same. Because this one, too, is funny. She's like, you've got the wrong number, you know, the whole time and shit.
To give some perspective on that historically, like, so I didn't know until after I watched the movie and then started reading the Wikipedia page after. I did not know that this...
I love how Chris is like, after Joe.
Well, I do. I don't read those before or during because it like will ruin my perspective on it while I'm watching it, but... like I want to be surprised, but the thing is, I didn't know this was a Canadian film. So, and then that they filmed it in Toronto, and it's supposed to be like, you know, the Toronto University and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, if it's the '70s and it's Toronto, which Toronto has always been like Canada's New York City, so you would probably have some Brits living there and stuff, and especially in the '70s when they had a brief economic collapse there, the pound was like weak as hell, so. I mean, that's not implausible if you'd have someone British, you know, in that setting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to get this out of the way right now. The word fellatio. I shit you not. I did not know what that meant. I honestly thought that was like some kind of weird fucking made up some bullshit. I was like, what the fuck kind of name is that? In the damn movie, one of the house residents, which is that Margot Kidder, she ends up. They're looking for her friend. Anyway, she ends up coming. She ends up coming to the police station to go ahead and make a report, trying to see looking for a missing person. Well, the police officer doesn't really give two shits. He's just like, you know. He's just kind of like doing his job half-assed. Like, well, she's missing. She's missing. Where could she be? Look, it's the holidays. She's probably with her boyfriend. Mm. What? That seemed like to be his main answer for a lot of stuff. You know, they're probably with family members. It's the holidays. You got to think about it. You know, probably with their boyfriend. They're probably sleeping with each other. Anyways, they're like, all right, I'll take the report down. What do you want? What street do you all live on? Oh, like, I think the number was like 123 Fellatio Lane.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, Fellatio. Can you spell that? F A. She's like spelling it out, and he's just like, honestly, I felt the same way too. I was like, what kind of bullshit name is that? That's horseshit. I would make her ass write that shit down. I was like, that's some damn made up shit. Well, silly on me, I'm like, so, chit chatting with the guys earlier today, and they're like, huh, the cop didn't know what that meant. It's a euphemism for a blowjob or whatever. And I was like, really? Oh, shit. So I'm all looking this bullshit up. Oh, shit. Oh, is that what it is? It's a blow. Oh, is that? They were making fun of him, and I knew it was like a made up name, but it wasn't made up. It was, it was just my sheer ignorance on my half. I was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah.
You're like, oh, now. Well, the only reason I knew, everyone's got their own story on that, is like, I had read like it's like a Marilyn Manson, like, I don't know if it was when they used to say he used to be able to suck his own dick or whatever the fuck. Yes. And
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. That he got ribs removed. And it was I don't know if it was him, but I guess it might have been somebody else. I'm pretty sure it was him, though. And they had used that word fellatio fellatello or whatever the actual word is. And it's like, it means the same thing or whatever the fuck. And so I was like, what the fuck is that? You're like, oh, like suck your own dick, or blowjob. I don't know, whatever. But so I always like, I had always known like, oh, fellatio, whatever. It has to do with sucking off, I guess. So when I heard that, when I heard it, I was like, I like was watching the movie, but like in the middle of it, I was like, the dog has to go somewhere or whatever. Right. And I heard the thing, like, cause they say it like a few times. I kind of like look back like, is she saying what I think she's saying? You know what I mean? I was like, fellatio drive. And yeah, this got funnier and funnier. So I was like, oh, is she trying to like fuck with him? Like, or is she trying to say she likes him? Or I was like, I was confused, but.
Yeah. She ends up, so he makes out the report and then ends up going ahead and giving it to the two main police officers that handle these kind of investigations.
Yeah.
So one of them in particular happens to be John Saxon. He seems to be the, the leader, the hero of that's trying to solve this mystery.
He's a lieutenant.
So he gives it to them and then they start laughing about it. And I was like, yeah, I knew it was a damn made up name. Yeah, this is stupid. Yeah.
Well, that's just like Mayberry RFD, man. Cause like, I mean, you think about that, the blonde guy that's always fucking up, he's a sergeant. Like, you don't just get out of police academy and go to police force and become a sergeant. Like, that takes a few years. And then you got, what's his name? No, more than a few. And then you got the John Saxon's character as a lieutenant. I mean, it's like, Barney Fife or whatever?
No, he was in Silent Night, Deadly Night, dude. Barney Fife, dude. That one cop. That guy gets shot. Don Knotts, whatever.
Yeah. Andy Griffith show, right?
Yeah, Don Knotts.
Yeah. I think that's where I recognize him from.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, pretty much. I mean, the police officer himself was goofy, but I was just like, you know what? Let me just get this out of the way. I honestly did not know what the fuck that word meant, and like I said, this is just one of, I should probably brushing up on my porn a little bit more. See if I can pick this up. I'm going to start typing it out. Sexy chicks fellatio. Yeah. And then I spell it wrong and it takes me to some transgender stuff going on.
The norm for Gabe's phone. But speaking of like nasty porn, dude, how about those Christopher J. phone calls, dude?
Oh my God. Jesus. So throughout this damn movie, how the killer is keeping in contact with these victims, he's calling the damn house. He's calling the house and he's making obscene noises. He's moaning, groaning, squealing like a pig. He's doing all kinds of weird ass noises. And then he does speak at some point or another, and he just starts saying like, oh, I'm going to kill you. I'm gonna kill you. How do you like that? Yeah. Look, creep. I'm telling you, you go stick your tongue in a sock in a wall socket. That'll give you a charge. Oh yeah. You're gonna suck on me, huh? You're gonna suck on my big red, he's going all out. You creep. And it's not even just Margot Kidder, but it's like everyone, like. the whole cast is listening in on this, and they just can't help but be shocked, like, what kind of weirdo is doing this? Yeah, it's those phone calls are so outrageous, man.
I think the voice he gets into when he starts getting crazier, it reminds me of the Scary Movie, the Scream Killer on Scary Movie.
Yeah, it does. I think he goes like a little more. He's just being a little more outrageous. But yeah, same thing on Scary Movie, that comedy one. He makes his phone calls and he's making noises too.
I'm in the house.
I was like, what the fuck's he saying? I was like, because I put the subtitles on, and I knew the first one, like, you can hear it pretty clear when he's like, I'm going to lick your pretty little pink cunts, and you're going to suck on my fat cock. And I'm like, whoa, the movie just started. What the fuck is Gabe having us watch here? The fucking weirdo and shit.
That's Grindhouse for you.
Yeah, dude, I was like, what the fuck? I for real was like laughing. I was like, oh shit. I was like, it's one of those movies, huh? I was like, all right. I was like, okay. I was doing the Chris. But no, I was fucking I loved all that shit because it made me feel like, wow, they better not fuck up, because this dude's fucking crazy, dude. He's fucking got a little bit of Ray to him, dude, so.
You know, and like some of the kill scenes, I mean, besides just the outrageous phone calls, you know, some of the kill scenes were pretty badass. What did you all think about the damn girl when she got a bag over her face or plastic over her face and left her in the attic? You know, she's just sitting there.
That was excellence.
It was excellent. It was. Okay. When I saw that, it was super disturbing the entire film because they just keep showing her and shit.
Yeah, I know. They didn't even let her go. And then the damn, they have a den mother. The den mother is the one who kind of overlooks all the young girls to make sure they don't get out of line, you know, who stay there while they're going to, you know, doing their classes and stuff like that. So the den mother, seems to kind of be a little
the worst
on the
one.
Loose side throughout this movie because she's sneaking alcohol every time. She keeps trying to take a drink every single time. She's got it hidden in a book. She's doing it, I think, after she brushed her teeth or something. She's taking swings constantly, just swinging off that bottle.
Yeah, I was laughing. I was like, I kind of like I said, watching it multiple times, I started like putting like stuff together. I'm like, oh, so she's like the one that watches over them, I guess, at first, because, you know, I don't know why I was like, is she the someone's mother? But like, oh, she's the one that like kind of like watches out to make sure that they're, I guess, like you said, not getting out of line. And then right. I was laughing because I was like, man, she's like the worst one, getting drunk the whole fucking time and shit, and hiding. Yeah. Like I was like, oh, she's like, I was like, are they not allowed to drink? You know, because they're all drinking. I was like, oh, I guess she doesn't want them to drink her shit or something. And she's like hiding all her stuff like somewhere else, and I was like laughing. I'm like, all right, man, I like this lady. So of course when she gets really fucked up, when they throw that fucking hook on her, or that dude throws a hook on her in the attic because that stupid cat, yeah, I was like, wow, that's fucked up.
you know, like, honestly, that out of this whole movie, the most intense part, like, it was just, like, nuts for me. Because I love this movie, and this is on my Christmas list, too. Like, I just watch this movie from time to time. But the best part out of this whole damn movie is near the end. At this point, they're really out there. They're trying to they're trying to get this killer. They're trying to get him. And they said, you know what, he's been calling. He's been calling up, you know, this is what's been happening, this is what's going on. You know, they said, tell you what, the next time he calls, you're going to have to keep on the line. We're going to have to trace this phone call. Well, it's funny because this is 1974. So tracing a phone call is not like today where, you know, they got computers and they're hacking into the mainframe to, you know, cross lines and all that. No, the whole operating system is completely old and completely different.
Yes. And thank you. And I want to thank you, Gabe, for shedding that light on that, because I had not had the chance to read up on it, and I had not had the chance to research, but I didn't know that. But, you know, like, you literally had, and I remember, like, a teacher in high school explaining this to us once, And like what you showed on those articles was like, yeah, that's what he had told us and how it works. Like there's a big building with all these little, you know, boxes, fuse boxes, switch boxes, whatever you call them, relays, whatever. And yeah, like when you dial a number, there's a relay for that number and it trips it. I'd known that the landline phones back in the day, it's so different.
Yeah, exactly. So like a little bit of extra tension and drama, what happens is that like when these people end up, when you're making a phone call, since the whole thing was like, you know, rotary phones and all that, every time they hit a damn number, that number would register to like this closed box in these cabinets or fuse boxes. So then once you hit another number, then that other number kind of lines up with it. It goes all the way until you get your whole full set of numbers. And then it'll hold those whole set of numbers wherever you're dialing from. It'll hold those set of numbers. And so while you're talking and everything, it holds it. The moment you hang up, those numbers drop and they open up. And so now it makes way for anybody else that's calling within that county line or wherever else they're calling from. And it starts dialing up those numbers. So you got to think, there's thousands of freaking numbers out there during this time. Not just thousands of numbers, there's like hundreds of cabinets constantly rotating with different numbers. So the way the drama is on this one, the girl ends up getting the killer on the line. He's all talking dirty or he's moaning. He's doing all kinds of crazy shit. So all of a sudden, those numbers start popping up and it's holding it. So leave it to the guy, the operator. He's running back and forth with like, huh?
So leave it to Beaver.
Yeah, really. The damn Beaver's running back and forth between damn cabinets. Yeah. And he's trying to find the set of numbers that belong to wherever it's coming from. He's trying to, but the killer keeps hanging up a little bit early every single time. So they keep dropping the call and they keep informing the damn John Saxon, the damn, you know, hero, telling him, hey, you got to keep him on the phone longer. I'm not getting the numbers yet. All right. So they call her and say, look, do whatever you can and keep him on the line. So you're seeing the drama between this. Finally, they catch the number. So here's the cool, the intense part. They said, we got the number. Okay, there has to be a mistake. No, I'm reading it right. This is the right number. So the girl ends up hanging up. And so John Saxon, you know, the hero, ends up calling her. Saying, hey, she's like, yes, well, we found the number. You found, oh, well, it doesn't tell her. He tells the goofy police officer. He tells the goofy police officer saying, do whatever you can, but we got the number. The number is coming from the house. Well, that can't be right. No, it is. Tell her to calmly, you only have one job. You got calmly tell her to put down the phone and get outside and get out of that house no matter what. Oh, all right. That's all you have to do. That's your main job. Don't fuck it up. Oh, okay. So he goes ahead and calls the damn girl, and the girl's like, yes? Look, where's your friends and where are you at? My friends are sleeping upstairs, and I'm here. Put down the phone and walk outside. No questions asked. Why? Something's wrong. I said no questions asked. Get outside. Okay, well, fine. Let me go and get my friends. No, yeah. Don't do that. Put down the phone. And go outside. Okay, the killer is inside the house.
The killer's inside the house. I love when he says that shit, dude.
He's so intense about it. He's all, God damn it, I fucked it up. All right.
I think we would all kind of react that way when you're telling, like, because if you don't want to, like, get someone to like, and the whole, like, that part kind of made me mad that, like, she, like, ignores him, and she's, like, looking for him, and then she tries to run out, and the door's fucked up, which they kind of mentioned earlier, that, oh, this door, whatever. And I'm like, you know this motherfucker's been killing motherfuckers, and everyone's just, like, gone, like, and you're still going to go, because I think she thinks it's Peter, her boyfriend or whatever. And so she, like, right away thinks of him, but I'm like, just get the fuck out of there. But, I mean, because, yeah, it's aggravating. They're like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, you're telling me, you know, needs to walk outside and, you know, fuck it, I'm going to go get somebody. You're like, he's in the motherfucker. You need to get the fuck out of there, you know?
Yeah, and the movie gives you good reason to suspect it could be Peter, because if you look at, you know, okay, who's the one always getting the calls? Jess. who's Jess involved with romantically, Peter. And how does Peter sometimes behave? You know, he gets freaking worked up. He gets annoyed, like he bashes his own piano.
I forgot about that. I was like, why the fuck's he doing it? Because, like, they show him jamming, and then all of a sudden they go, like, to a different scene or whatever. And they come back, and he's just bashing the fuck out of it. I'm like, what? I'm like, why is he doing that? I was like, oh, God, that's why he's telling her all this bullshit, like, oh, that he didn't get this, that, or whatever. But go ahead, Chris. Go on.
And there's also the scene where she talks about being pregnant. And he's all happy about it, and he's like, the eager father wants her to have it, and she's like, I'm not ready to do this. So he's mad about that. So the movie presents it where there's all the motive for Peter to have to do this.
I think it's more of him wanting to have her and, like, control her than actually – I mean, of course, I think he wants the kid, but, like, when she doesn't want him, you know, I think that's where it really pisses her off. But yeah, he, like, I mean, it's one of those things, like, this is like the first movie of its kind where you, well, I'm assuming it is because it's the first slasher, but they do all the things that kind of like Scream does where, like, they make you think it's so-and-so and then they fucking twist it on you and all that because he's acting really fucking insane. And, like, of course, like, he's, like, hanging outside the house when they're, like, the cops are, you know, not staking it out, but, like, getting them set up with, you know, planting the bug on the phone. He's out there all weirdo. And when she's running away from the actual killer, which is a crazy fucking 5-minute thing in itself, like, he's the one, like, breaking into the house or whatever at the bottom of the basement. And I'm just like, well, what the fuck's he doing? You know, what the fuck's, you know, going on over there? So it's one of those things to where they introduce that gimmick to where, you know, everyone's supposed to think it's this fool. And, you know, then it's all fucked up ending with some guy saying, it's me, Billy.
Yeah, you know, this movie, it has, like, a lot of cool little parts. It's a good Christmassy type of movie. They got, you know, they got the whole theme of it going on. You know, there's a lot of cool little gimmicks, like you were saying. But, yeah, still, you can't help but, like, feel, like, kind of upset, like, because the killer doesn't get caught. They don't catch him. He doesn't go away, you know, and where does he end up at the end? He's back in the damn attic again, and he's making phone calls. Even though the girl is knocked out, the police resolved everything. They thought they caught the killer, and
the killer is inside the house. Just every 5 minutes. My bad.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they just ended up calling, and he just ended up calling again, you know, waiting for whoever picks up. So you would think, like, okay, the killer hasn't been caught. Is there a part two? Well, not really, no.
Yeah.
What happens on that part? They end up doing a remake. They did a remake, but in this case, unlike the old one where the women are the victims, now they kind of make them the heroines in there, where they're the heroes. In my opinion, I call it a strong, independent women movie. And that's pretty much like they make the guys seem kind of a tad weak or arrogant. Nothing wrong with that. But as far as this movie goes, there are just some things that they end up doing in there. They have a whole fight scene and everything. It just seems really outrageous. And I mean, no more than outrageous than a, you know, a serial killer being in a damn attic. you know, making phone calls. But, I mean, this is supposed to be a little more modern, and the killer does make his way down into the household, and he starts killing people. But, yeah, the remake just wasn't my taste. It's really a hard pill to swallow. You know, it's probably for some people. Not that I'm against, you know, I like, you know, strong women, you know, being good characters in movies and stuff like that. But, I mean, in this case, this one just made it cheese balls, and I couldn't go any further with it. I saw it once, and that's probably all. I'm going to stick with the 74 version. Yeah. No, I can't do the new one.
Yeah, they have an 06 and a, what is it, 2019 one, and yeah, I had read reviews about the 2019, and I put it on today, and just, like, after, like, 30 minutes, I was like, nope, because they just make everyone just completely unlikable, and, like, the whole movie, like you said, like, hey, if you want to have a movie about having strong women, that's fine, you know, they do it in Alien without, like, overdoing it to where they make everyone look like shit, where here, it's like, they're just really pressing the man-hating when it's, like, the movie, like, it starts off with the, like, if you know, I don't know if, I know Chris hasn't seen it, but just put on the first 30 minutes and you'll see, you'll get the whole movie. Like, you don't even need to go any further. Like, the professor's, like, talking about how there's a petition for him to get kicked out, and it's, like, nothing but chicks that they didn't like something that he did or teaching, like, with the books. I got a fucking sneeze. There you go. And I was like, okay, so, like, the professor's a dude, and they don't like him because of, like, the books, and it's, like, the black chick, she's all like, well, those ain't, the classics, those ain't my classics and all that, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're great, you know, and then, like, another girl who looks like just some kind of, like, fucking, like, something's wrong with her or whatever, right, she goes into this room, where she doesn't go into the room, but, like, she's, like, peeping, and one of her friends is, like, basically getting it put on her, and she really doesn't want it by the dude. And the dude just comes off, you know, real scumbaggy. And I'm like, is every dude in this film going to look like an enemy? You know what I mean? And it's like, I was like, I'm not interested in this. Because it just seems, like, too forced. If you want to have, like, one person, you know, as a bad guy or whatever, that's cool. But when you're, like, targeting men and that's it, and you're gonna put every, you know, the chicks over the guy, all guys are scumbags, and you should be fearful of your professor that's a man and your friend's boyfriend, it's just like, what the fuck are we doing here, dude? Like, that's the wrong audience. Go make a fucking, you know, that, you know, Hallmark fucking movie about and shit, you know, not a fucking Hallmark. not this fucking, you know, Black Christmas shit, you know.
Well, dude, even the Hallmark movies are more realistic than that. I mean,
you know,
even they're not.
And I was, like, completely, you know, disgusted with that shit. I'm like, why do they got to do this shit? You know what I mean? Like, you can do all that. Just don't call it Black Christmas. Call it whatever you know, fucking, you know, We Hate Men or something. So you know what you're getting into. You know what I mean? Just do that. But the whole fucking ending with her running, you hadn't mentioned, because I had like, subconsciously, like, thought about it, but didn't mention it, that it sounds like Chucky when he's like, ah, when he told me the fireplace. I was like, oh yeah, for sure, dude.
I thought that was awesome, man. So when the girl actually finally, when the killer finally reveals himself to her, like, even still, like, we don't even still see the killer's face. The most we get is, like, a glimpse of his, like, part of his face, like a part of his eye and cheek. But, like, he finally reveals himself, and he's chasing after the damn girl, and the main girl, Olivia Hussey, and or Jess, and she ends up making her way, like, I guess, like, towards the basement. So she goes in there, and she locks the damn door. Right on the outside of the door, he's doing all that moaning and groaning and whining and, like, screaming. Like, he's just, like, freaking out trying to open the damn door. Mm-hmm. Well, it reminded me of a Child's Play Part 1. Remember, if you all remember, and I made this suggestion earlier, that when Chucky was inside the fireplace, and Andy is, like, trying to, or, like, the mom was trying to hold him back into the fireplace while Andy's trying to set him on fire. So, yeah, he's just, like, screaming. He's all, he's just, like, screaming and freaking out. I was just like, oh, Jesus, Chucky made his way into this movie now, too. Either that or I'm watching way too much of that movie. I don't know. But, yeah.
He's just hearing Chucky voices.
I am, man. You know, my little one talks to me, and sometimes I hear his voice, and I'm like, shit, don't kill me in my sleep, you know? Yes. Goddamn.
And I gotta say, just the, man, I love the ending scene, you know, panning away from the house, but starting with, you know, friggin' suffocated Claire, you know, still wrapped up, still up there in the attic looking out the window. No one knows. Still nobody knows that's where she is. And they're panning away distantly, and then ring, ring, ring for the ending credits. That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a go home kind of, you know, today they'd have some kind of cool song. It's not feel good, but it's also like today they'd have some kind of cool song or something like that to go along with the ending, stuff like that. And it's just, no, there's just straight up like silence and phone ringing.
Yeah, it's a good, like I said, you know, it's the 70s stuff's completely different from the 80s when you look at, you know, the fucking, especially when you watch them back to back like we did with this shit. And, you know, The Omen and all that other stuff you had named, or like, you know, the classics, of course. And they definitely have like a fucking very dark tone in these films. And like, yeah, that's like, that's fucked. She's like thinking everything's all taken care of and she's there all by herself. You're like, wow, that leaves you. Like, I'm sure people that watched that in theaters, they were like, man, I wonder if someone's at home, you know, at my house. Because, like, that's a scary thought, you know, not knowing if someone's in your house and shit like that. And that's real. And the real shit's usually the scariest stuff. So, I mean, yeah, badass film.
Yeah, overall, this was a damn good movie. And, like I said, I watched this, like, pretty much. In the more recent years, I've been having to put this one on a little more than certain other ones. But, yeah, definitely it's a good classic film. It has that POV killer type of vibe, you know, like Psycho. And then you have those Dario Argentino films, too, where you're kind of – you just don't see the damn killer. And even then, even up until the end, we still don't even see the killer. We see a lot of that whole blackened part of his whole face. The only thing we really see lit up is just an eye and a cheek. And it's – yeah. What makes it good is just the tension of this damn movie. Whether is he going to get caught? You know, he's awfully too close to the damn girls in this movie. What's going to happen? You know, are they all going to die? Is one of them going to live? Or, you know, what's going to happen? So, yeah, this is a classic movie. I suggested this movie in case y'all hadn't seen it. I thought it was good for the holidays. This is definitely one on my list.
What do you give this bad boy a fucking rating so we can close this motherfucker out so Chris can get to get hammered drunk?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to give this a good solid 7.5 for me. It's almost perfect, but since it's 1974, it is a little slow. And so that's the only reason why it knocks it down, because I kind of wish it would speed up a little bit on certain parts. But, yeah, definitely 7.5. I do rewatch it. Even when it's not Christmas, sometimes I'll go ahead and throw it on just for something different. So, yeah, why not? 7.5.
Christopher J.
8.5, because it's an OG. I mean, 1974, I researched it. I couldn't really see, were there any kind of movies like this? And this set the tone of the waves for all the other slashers we had, by like Phantasm and Halloween and Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. So, you know, you got to be just one of the patriarchal fathers of that movement. And, you know, good story, good characters. I liked, you know, I have to say, because it is good story, good characters, but they swerve you and they make you, they do a good job of swerving you, making you think one thing and then they go another direction. They fool you and they trick you and all this stuff. So, and also kudos to them for the fact that, like, you really didn't have first-person perspectives on, you know, a killer going to go slash in 1974, and they were the OGs of that. So you got to give them nothing else. Even if you like a much later movie better, I mean, this just, like, paved the way for so much of that. So I'm going to give it an 8.5.
I'm going to have to slice it right down the middle and give it a I'm going to say 7.8. I wasn't going to give it an 8, but... yeah, it's one of those things to where it's a little slow for me, but, I mean, it's so damn good that I can't help but, like it a lot more than probably, like, a few other 70s films. And don't ever mention any other 70s film to Phantasm, because that's the greatest 70s film of all time. And how dare you? How fucking dare you bring that shit up? You know, but, yeah, like, even Phantasm, when you see the rest of them, you see how much slower that one. And I think Gabe was like... he was all shitting on it because he liked part two more. He's like, I don't know about part one, dude. And then I watched part two and I was all like, because I was like, because I hadn't watched part two in years, and I was like, wow, part two's a lot of fucking fun, and part two was so good, it made the other ones like look like shit. So I was like laughing. But yeah, this one's like a lot of fun. It is one. I mean, I was talking about like having to watch Jack Frost during Christmas, and I probably will. But Black Christmas is like one of those dark ass ones that it's gonna be fighting. It's gonna be fighting Jack Frost for, you know, well, one of the films to make my holiday list to watch. But I mean, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 is always gonna be on there. Out of all the films that we watched for Christmas, that was definitely my favorite.
Garbage day,
you're fucking tricking me, and I'm like, what? I could have swore I pressed part one. Why can't I find this fucking actor? But yeah, this was a whole lot of fun. I can't wait. We're gonna do New Year's Evil next week to close out the year, so you guys will be listening to this one on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It depends how drunk you got, or maybe some other time. But we're posting it then. But yeah, it's been a whole lot of fun, so we only got one more episode to end out the year, and that one will probably be a little bit longer since it's the end of 2021, for fucking forgetting what year we're in, episode. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed episode 75, and me, Gabe, and CJ will see you on the next one.
Man, you got to be shitting me. That mother's strong. Peace.
Peace.
Merry Christmas, and keep it creepy, guys.